All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you to dig deeper into the book of Deuteronomy. This week, we're going to finish up chapter 3 and get into chapter 4, some of the great things going on here as we finish up this first section of his first speech in preparation for his second speech, starting off with the Ten Commandments in chapter 5. So this week, we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 23 through chapter 4, verse 14. So Moses is still going on with his recitation of the history of Israel. And I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such things and mighty acts as yours? Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you, and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, Enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again. But go up to the top of Pisgah, and lift up your eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and look at it with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua, and encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go over at the head of this people, and he shall put them in possession of the land that you will see. So we remained in the valley opposite Beth Peor. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word of that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I have set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, Gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules, so that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess. All right, there is our text for this week. A little long. There's going to be a few things involved with it, but we're going to have it, really succinct. So we end chapter 3, verses 23 through 29, Moses pleading with the Lord to be allowed to go into the promised land. He has been barred from the promised land. And yet, he still tries. He's like, whatever rationale he tries to give, he just simply, as he denotes here in verse 25, please let me go over and see the good land. But verse 26, he says, The Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. Now, this verb, which is translated angry, is furious and become enraged. And it only occurs 8 times in the Old Testament. And note the irony with the common verb spelled with the same consonants, both of them a bar, but the second one means crossover, which appears 3 times, verse 25, 27, and 28. The pun seems to be intentional on the part of Moses. It is perhaps a touch of melancholy humor in the midst of a serious situation where he says, God was furious with me because I wanted to cross over and he would not let me cross over. And oh, by the way, I can't cross over. So we have this again, this wordplay that we don't see in the English, but we have in the Hebrew. So Dr. Harstead says, six times Moses brings up the aching thing of God refusing him entry into the promised land. God could not get the sorry topic out of his brain or mouth, nor could he forget the reasons behind the no entry decree. The reasons as expressed in Deuteronomy are twofold. First, Moses' own disobedience and consequent public dishonor of God. And second, the rebellion of Israel that drove Moses to his rash deed. Moses mentions the blame shared by the whole nation in chapter 1, verse 37, chapter 3, verse 26, chapter 4, verse 21. And here, in all of these, it's on account of you. At the same time, Moses does not deny his own guilt. The sinful influences of society on believers, and even the transgressions that take place in the church, do not excuse individual guilt. God will not let us rationalize away our personal fault. Leaders in the church are rightly held to a higher standard, as Paul points out to Timothy for elders and deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So what happened? What got Moses all upset? Well, we go to Numbers 20 for that. We start off in verse 10. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me, to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given you. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy." So here is why Moses and Aaron are not able to enter the Holy Land, is because they did not uphold the Lord as holy. Very much so, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" This is the way that Moses and Aaron should have done it. This is the way, even after the billionth time that the people of Israel had murmured and complained about their plight in the wilderness, Moses still should have just accepted the Lord at his word, but he didn't. This is the second time he got water out of the rock, and first time he struck it, so he said, "Well, it happened. It worked the same last time. Let's do it the same way this time, because I'm just upset with these people. Let me show them who I am and who they are, that they are dependent on me, not me on them." And well, that of course never works out when we try to show people how dependent they are on us, because then they will try to figure out exactly how independent they want to be without us. All right, so in the rest of the chapter, he is given the instructions, which he will fulfill in chapter 34. Going up to the top of Pisgah, looking north, south, east, and west, very much like Abraham being told, as far as your eye can see, and even beyond, that is what is going to be inherited. Just like Abraham was told, everywhere your foot has stepped will be an inheritance to your descendants. But you aren't going, Joshua is going to lead the people. So now we have that all set up, that Joshua is going to lead the people in, even though we already know that Joshua and Caleb are the only ones from the people who pass through the Red Sea that get to go over the Jordan. So now we get into chapter 4. And he says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving to you." Here is the verb Shema, listen, hear. No, it can be in the simple sense of perceiving a sound, as it is in verse 12 of chapter 4, but also verse 10 of Genesis chapter 3, where they heard the sound of God walking in the garden. But most often, it refers to appropriating a message. And when the message is the word of God, the appropriate response is to believe and act accordingly. But you also have the idea of carrying them out. So it's not just listening, but doing. And so we have the two different words here, chok and mishpat. Chok is the statute. It comes from the noun meaning to engrave or inscribe. These are divine decrees for life based on changeless theological and moral precepts. Mishpat is judgment. A judgment that can be a decision in case law or a prior ruling in a legal sense that establishes precedent. Both of these things are being taught. The law consists of both of these plus the commandments, which are not involved in this discussion. But here we also have in the usage of the verbs here in verse 1 of chapter 4, what James draws on in chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's not just hearing the word, but it's doing it. Now we get to the strictest part of the book of Deuteronomy, and truly the strictest part of the entire Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. This is duplicated again in Revelation 22. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. So we add, stuff is going to be added to us, and we're not going to like it. We take away what we have been promised will be taken away from us. That is the strictness of the Word of God and how He wants it to be held in all generations. So then He goes on in verse 3 to talk about, all right, you want a reason why to not do all this? Let's look back at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. And we get back to that in Numbers 25, where the daughters of Moab seduced the men of Israel to have sacrifices to their gods, to eat and to, rise up to play, very much like they did at the golden calf. So this is that point. He's like, remember back then, those guys are not there. That 24,000 that died that day, they're not here anymore. But you are. You who held fast to the Lord your God. Using the very same verb there for hold fast as it is in Genesis 2:24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Same meaning there in verse 4. Verse 5, he says, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do them. So do them, for that will be your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Jesus picks this up in the Sermon on the Mount. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so yes, we are to do the good works, not because they are helpful to us, but they are helpful to our neighbors. And again, these statutes and rules are not just some mythology that has been passed down orally. This is the God himself coming down on top of Mount Sinai in the fire and the smoke and the darkness and all of that to give these rules, to mediate them through Moses, but to verbally say, as we'll see in chapter 5, the Ten Commandments, to make sure the people understand that as we understand as New Testament Christians, the ceremonial law, the political laws of Israel have all been done away with in Jesus. What's left is the moral law, the Ten Commandments. That's still here because God himself spoke those to the people of Israel. So he reminds them of that moment as their parents honestly stood at Mount Sinai, as we hear in the hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times didst give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. He says, remember that time. Remember when you came and stood at the foot of the mountain, as we see in Exodus 19. And we're going to end here with these words, which we will again see Monday in the confessional corner as we take a look at the introduction to the Ten Commandments. Exodus 19, starting in verse 17. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it. And the Lord said to him, go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. One of the many times up and down the mountain. And we see this again and again as God is saying, here are the rules. And Moses says, yes, you gave those rules and it's going to be fine. God gives the rule again because he knows it's not going to be fine if he doesn't say it again and again. Because this is a hard-hearted, stiff-necked people, as he says again and again and again throughout the Old Testament. But there we have the people standing at the foot of the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from the voice of God himself. And this is the covenant that is there. Verse 13, he says, he declared to you his covenant. This is the first time the word covenant is here in the book of Deuteronomy. There are 26 more times that this word comes up because the covenant is very important in the book of Deuteronomy because this is the second giving of this covenant so that the people are prepared for when they go into the promised land. All right, that is it for this week. Next week, we will pick up in verse 15, finish off chapter 4. Before we go into the Ten Commandments in chapter 5, we will not cover chapter 5 in as slow a detail as we will be covering the Ten Commandments in the confessional corner. I encourage you to be there for that. But here we are just going to go through it quickly in a one spot, hopefully 20-minute time limit on that one. So I encourage you to be here for that, as well as for the confessional corner, as we go through the Ten Commandments, each week. So that we may see the great blessings that God has, both the blessings for keeping it and the curses for breaking it. Just like we had the cursing of Moses and Aaron and not being able to enter the promised land because they did not keep the word of God. So as we wrap up today, the encouragement is to not only be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word, as James says. And that doing is that wrestling with the theology around us that I pray this podcast equips you for. So until next time, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, supporting the podcast, and may God's richest blessings be upon you today and always. Amen.